clearly. It will speak very clearly to our nation. It will speak very clearly to our church. It will speak very clearly to your life. And there may be some today who need this message more than anybody could possibly imagine. So let me share with you a little bit from the 37th Psalm. I learned something not very long ago that was disturbing, but not all that surprising. A poll was taken. Can you imagine that? Somebody taking a poll in these days and times. But this poll was not about who do you want to vote for, who do you expect is going to be elected, or what issue do you think is most important to America today. Instead, this polling was about the attitudes and the hearts of people all over America. And at the end of this poll, they reached a conclusion, and the conclusion was simply this. We are living in the midst of what was described as the discouraged generation. They said, we talk to people everywhere, all different ages, all different socioeconomic backgrounds, all sorts of different perspectives. And one of the things we found was, all around this country, we are living in the midst of a discouraged people. More people today have a negative view of their lives than ever before in any time in recent history. Even in the midst of major wars, more people had an optimistic outlook than many do today. Well, we see that on TV all the time, don't we? My children's lives is going to be better than mine. I don't know. The world is, the country's headed in the right direction. I'm not sure about that. I have a lot of confidence in the leaders that surround me. I don't know about that either. We live in the midst of a discouraged generation. These experts came up with a number of reasons why they thought people are so discouraged, and they really came up with three broad categories that they talked about people. They said some people are crisis weary. There have been too many wars, too many national emergencies, too many scandals. It just seems like every time I listen to anything that's going on in the world around me, something bad is happening. And because of that, there are people who have just become discouraged. They look and they see conflict in this part of the world, and then that, they think this problem solved, and another one arises. Just when it seems that one crisis is over, another crisis raises its head, and some people are just tired of crisis. I said some people have become worn down. Worn down physically, worn down emotionally, worn down spiritually. They seek and they strive and they try and they work and they seem to work more and then they seem to work more and then they seem to work more and they're not sure that it's making any difference. And they've become tired and overextended and overwhelmed. Sometime back, Henry Cloud came up with the term boundaries, in which he just said, there are boundaries in the human spirit. There are boundaries, and when you reach that point and go beyond that point, you just become exhausted. And physical exhaustion leads to emotional exhaustion, leads to spiritual exhaustion. And some people are just worn down. And then they said, there are some people who are overcome by the onslaught of 24-hour news that focuses on bad things happening everywhere. You know, it wasn't that long ago. Well, maybe it was. Back in the old days when you got your national news, but they got it all in how long? 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day was all the bad news you were ever going to get. And you could cope with that. Nowadays, we have this machine of 24-hour news, and it has to keep coming up with bad stuff. I mean, you know, we're looking for ratings here. We want people to pay attention. If our stuff is not worse than the competitor stuff, they're going to start watching them, so we got to have the really bad stuff. And people are just overcome. It's like wave after wave of 24-hour news washing over them. I'm sure all of those reasons are valid reasons. But I also think these experts miss something critical. Something that lies at the heart of the disillusionment that some people are experiencing today. I believe people have lost sight of hope because people have lost a vital connection with Jesus Christ. When you look at the nation around us, you find that we've got so many people that no longer have a connection with the Lord. That there was a time when your faith was a part of everything you did. Your faith was a part of when you went to school. Your faith was a part of what you did in your community. Your faith was a part of what happened when you went to a Friday night football game. But gradually, all of those things have disappeared, and they have eroded away, and so people have lost a connection with Christ Jesus. And because they've lost their connection with Christ, they don't know how to trust Him. They have no idea how to follow Him. They have forgotten how to put Him first in their lives and have become a discouraged generation. Here's a spiritual principle that I think is true. The more superficial your faith, the more likely you are to be overwhelmed by life. The more superficial your faith, the more likely you are that the world is just going to wear you down because you have no spiritual resources. Because you're just like a person who's run out of gasoline in their automobile. And you're trying to make it on fumes, and you're not getting very far, and it feels like it's going to quit any minute now. We are paying a price for losing sight of the Savior. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Hadn't this been inspiring and encouraging? Well, actually it is, because the Bible says there is good news. There's good news because the Lord gives us a strong solution for recovering hope in the midst of a discouraged world. David wrote the 37th Psalm about 3,000 years ago. But he faced some of the same problems people do today. David had known his share of heartache and defeat. He looked around himself and he saw people who were doing wrong and they seemed to be getting away with it. People who were taking advantage of the world and nobody ever made them pay a price. And meanwhile, good people who are having to face incredible pain and go through incredibly difficult circumstances. David knew all too well his own capacity for sin. And he knew he needed a word from God. And Psalm 37 is where God gave him a word of hope. And he's still giving people hope today. Hope that reaches beyond our circumstances. Hope that brings meaning to our life. Hope that is new every morning. The key to rediscovering hope is found in the 37th Psalm. It shows you how to restore your faith and how to find new strength for the day. One particular verse, Psalm 37:5, gives you three specific steps that can restore your hope and give you new encouragement for today. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Let me just share some principles that you need, and I need, and we need, in order to be people of hope, no matter what's going on around us. And the first thing the Bible says is this. It says hope is born when you commit your way to the Lord. In fact, those are exactly the words that the Bible uses. We are to let the Lord show us the way. Commit your way to the Lord. How are you living your life? Where are you going? What are your plans? What direction? How are you going to know whether you succeeded or failed? How are you going to know that you're living with purpose? How do you know? Commit your way to the Lord. Let Him show you the way. Nothing is more important than choosing the right way. Now, I have a confession to make to you. When I drive, I like to drive fast. If I passed you on the interstate at some point this week, forgive me. But you know what? It doesn't matter how far you go or how fast you're going unless you're going the right way. What would happen if this week you decided to yourself, you know, I've had enough of this hot weather. This is about to drive me crazy. I'm going to get up in the mountains where it's cool. And so you make your plans. I'm going to the mountains, and you pick out your destination, and you make your reservations, and you pack your stuff, and thank goodness I get to pack long sleeves and long pants, and it's going to feel so good when we get up in the mountains and finally the day comes that you're going to go on your trip, and you get in and you begin to drive. And you're driving fast and you're driving confidently and you can't wait to get where you're going. But as you're going, things are beginning to change. Instead of becoming more mountainous, things are becoming flat. Instead of becoming rich, deep soil where there might even be colors in the trees, all you're seeing is sand. And before you know it, you've run right into the Gulf of Mexico. What happened? You were going confidently, you were going fast, you were going with purpose. You just didn't know where you were going. And that's the problem that some of us have. And when you find out, I have gone too far, too fast, too confidently, in the wrong direction, you are headed toward a moment of truth where sooner or later you're going to have to admit, I have been wrong the whole time. And I got to turn around and go a different way. And the same thing is true of everybody who thinks they will find hope by choosing any path that doesn't follow Jesus. And you look around yourself everywhere you look, and you find people who are confidently, quickly, with real assurance in their own wisdom, going in all sorts of directions in life. And they're not ready to listen to anybody, and they don't want to turn around. And yet you know they're going in directions that don't lead to Jesus. And sooner or later, they're headed toward that moment of truth. I remember talking with a mother one time whose child was away at school and had made some really bad decisions. I mean, those kinds of decisions where you end up having to come home and go to work at McDonald's for a while because college is not doing you any good right now. And this mother said to me, we have talked and talked and talked and talked, and he's just not listening. We have tried our best to help him understand you can't act the way you're acting and get anywhere in this life, and he's not paying attention. And you know what I said to that mother? I said, you know what? Sooner or later, your child is going to have to run into a brick wall, and until he hits that brick wall, there's no use talking because he's not listening. Why can I talk about that young man? Because that's every one of us. Every one of us probably can look at some point in our life where we just had to hit a brick wall. And until we hit that wall, we weren't listening to anybody about anything. The Bible says, commit your way to the Lord. Hope begins when you commit your way to Him by choosing to make Jesus the practical Lord of your life every day. The practical Lord of your life. How am I going to judge the direction, the plans? How am I going to decide whether the way I'm living my life is the right way? I don't know. Is it God's way? Is this part of making Jesus Lord? It astounds me sometimes how many people are willing to commit their eternal destiny to Christ, but hold back from asking Him to be Lord of this Saturday or next Tuesday afternoon. We pray for Him to help us in the big things, but we don't want Him to be a part of the small details. But God says, commit your way to the Lord. And that means every day, all the time, whatever's happening. What does God say? Why should you commit your way to the Lord? Because He knows what you don't know. Because He sees what you can't see. Because He can do what you can't do. Why should I commit my way to the Lord? Well, let me just put it this way. I should commit my way to the Lord because He's the Lord. And I am not. For me to say to the Lord God, I'm going to go my way and not your way, would be like a family allowing its toddler to make all the family decisions. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? How are we going to live? I need somebody bigger than me to make those decisions in my life. I need direction, and it can only come from the Lord. So how do you commit your way to the Lord? Well, God calls on you to make three specific decisions. The first one is this: I will surrender. I will surrender. God, in the midst of a discouraging world where nobody seems to know the right direction and so many things seem to be going wrong, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I'm turning over control. I'm going to admit to you I've been trying to do this by myself and it hasn't worked. So here it is. I love the story that Keith Miller told. I've probably shared it before because his testimony touched me so much. But Keith Miller, a businessman involved in the oil industry, who had been struggling with so many spiritual issues in his life, who had been following every trail that folks had told him would lead to success and was finding utter emptiness in it all. He'd acquired position, he'd acquired wealth, he'd acquired success. He'd done everything folks said were going to make him happy, and he was miserable. And he tells the story about driving down an Oklahoma highway, a long, straight Oklahoma highway one day, when he just reached the end of his rope. He hit that wall. And he pulled over to the side of the road, and he prayed his first honest prayer to God. You know what that prayer was? Lord, if there's anything you want out of this stinking life of mine, you can have it. And that was his moment of salvation. I commit my way to you. I will surrender. Number two, I will depend. I will put the weight of my life squarely on Christ. Dependence means I'm not just trusting him with the spiritual stuff. I'm putting the weight of my life on him. It's as though I walked down here and I sat on this pew and I trust that pew to hold me up. So I trust the Lord to keep me strong. And Lord, whatever may be going on around me, whatever may be going on within me, I just want you to know I depend on you. I know I don't have the strength, and I know you do. I will depend on you. And then the third thing, I will believe. I will believe what God tells me is true. I will believe I can trust his word. I will believe that it is God's word to me. Hope comes to life when you commit your way to the Lord. And then Psalm 37:5 says this. It says, and you can live with hope. Hope comes to life when you trust him in everything. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. You can put your trust in Christ because he has everything under control. But understand something. Trust is not just a state of mind. I can't ask you the question this morning, do you trust the Lord? And you say, yes, I trust the Lord. And yet so many people think of trust as just a state of mind. Yeah, I trust the Lord. I trust him in whatever. Trust is not about a state of mind. Trust is active dependence upon Christ. Trust is I will follow him actively in everything I do. I know he's leading the way, and now in everything I do, I will honor him. I will actively follow him. I will trust him. It is so important to live a life of active trust in God. Read another article, USA Today, this past weekend. The results of a 20-year Harvard study. And at the end of it, they reached this conclusion. If you want an elixir that will cause your life to live, that cause you to live years longer, not only to live longer, but to be healthier physically and mentally than you ever could have been otherwise, and you had to take this elixir just once a week, would you do it? And here's the conclusion they reached. If you want that to be true, go to church. Can you believe that? A Harvard study. Go to church. And they said those people who regularly, at least once a week, are found in a place of worship are the healthiest people in the country. Healthier physically, healthier spiritually, healthier mentally, healthier in every way. Not only that, they live life with more optimism and live life more aggressively than anybody else. Why? Well, I think the answer is because we trust in the Lord. One of the greatest things in the world is knowing I'm not in this all by myself. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. And feed on his faithfulness. Now that's an active thing you do. I don't know anybody that believes abstractly in the idea of eating. Yes, I think people should eat. I think everybody should eat. I think eating is something that should be a part of folks' lives. Well, do you eat yourself? Well, no, but I think it's a good thing for people to do. What do? We feed on those things that are good. The Bible says we feed on his faithfulness. And when you're really hungry, what you eat demands all of your attention. You've been the same place I have. You've gone out with a group of folks you love. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's folks after church. But you go somewhere and you sit down around the table and you order your food, and conversation is wonderful. People are talking and going back and forth and just having a good time together. And then the food comes, and what happens? It gets real quiet, real fast. What's happening? People are focusing on what they're feeding on. We are focusing on our food. And the Bible says we feed, we focus on God's faithfulness. Not only that, but what you eat determines how strong you're going to be. It needs to be something that is good for you. Not just what caught your eye. You need to be thinking about, what am I putting into myself? How am I feeding myself? That's why the Bible commands us to feed on his faithfulness. When you feed on his faithfulness, your attention is on the Lord. And as long as your focus is on God's faithfulness, discouragement and fear will be replaced by hope and confidence. It comes down to, how many people can you trust in this world? Well, you know, we all talk about we want to trust people, and we do trust people, but most of us, if it came down to who do you really trust, there's probably not more than a handful of people in your world, in your life, that you really, really trust. Make sure that the first of those people is the Lord Jesus. And when you commit your way to him, and when you focus on his faithfulness, then you're ready to depend upon his promise. Because here's how that verse concludes. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Lord has made a commitment to everyone who depends upon him. He will absolutely be there for you. You can absolutely depend upon the Lord. Things in our world are changing all of the time, but not him. He is absolutely faithful. It is a powerful promise. It doesn't say he might or he should. It says he shall bring it to pass. It is a lasting commitment. Psalm 37:25 says this, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. What does David say? There was a time when I was young and strong, now I'm old, and my time is coming to an end, and through it all I have seen the faithfulness of God. One of the things that's been so interesting to me over these last few months is we've been watching political commercial after political commercial, listening to talking head after talking head. is we have had so many people who have said in so many different ways, unless things go one certain way, apocalypse. Everything's going to fall apart. The world is going to come to an end. And you know what the Lord says? Still on the throne. Nothing's changed. I am faithful. And I will be who I am no matter what happens in the world around you. He shall bring it to pass. The Bible says you won't experience, it doesn't say you won't experience heartache and hardship. It never says we won't see the world around us looking like it's turned upside down. It never says you won't have questions or doubts or struggles. But he does give us a rock solid promise. I will be there for you. No matter what is going on in your world, no matter what is going on in this life, no matter what is going on, I will be there. Because you see, the Lord's commitment is an eternal commitment. Listen to how Psalm 37 concludes. It says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in times of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So today you have a decision to make. Do you want to be part of the discouraged generation? Do you want to participate in those who see no hope and no help in the world around them? Or do you want to claim the promises of God in your life, no matter what? Let me challenge you this morning. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He, and only he, shall bring it to pass. You can depend upon the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, what's going on in your life? What's going on in your mind, in your heart? Did you come this morning and the truth is you were pretty discouraged as you came? Discouraged because of things you've been facing in your own life? Discouraged with the condition of the world around you? Discouraged about the direction of things that you see happening? Did you come discouraged? Did you come this morning struggling because you don't seem to have any answers for the answers you need the most? What's the condition of your heart this morning? Better yet, have you made the decision, I'm going to trust the Lord. No matter what, no matter where, no matter what's going on around me, I commit my way to him. I will believe his way is God's way for my life. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never trusted the Lord, not in a personal way, not as your Savior. There's never been that time when face to face and heart to heart you said to Jesus Christ, today is a day when I want to give my life to you. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I want you to come into my life, and I want you to change not only my eternity, but every day of my life as I follow you. If you've never made that decision, in a moment, as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation, you can come here to the front, and I'll be here, and Rich will be here, and we would love to introduce you to Jesus so that you can follow the Lord.